and is carrying on as Mike would have wanted, every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning. It is Sunday morning. I feel like there was some music missing or something. No, I guess not. It just got really quiet for a second.
It just went all the way to the end.
We didn't cut in early. Good morning. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here on KSRO every Sunday morning. And Super Bowl Sunday. Woohoo.
Is it? Well, thanks for reminding me.
You wouldn't know it by looking at me and my guests. But Joe's all in his Niners gear.
And I'm ready for 3:30.
You're ready for 3:30.
Let's just get here.
Yeah, let's get going.
2 week wait, and I'm ready.
Good. Well, it should be a fun
day. And you know something else that I noticed today? Today is 2/2/2020.
Right. It's a palindrome. It is a palindrome.
So if you weren't awake this morning, you missed the 2:02 a.m.
Oh yeah,
but there is a 2:02 p.m. So
okay, well that just, if we're not going by military time, yeah. That'll work. But
that's
it is
exactly
yet,
what I said.
It's
to my
something.
Daughter.
It's been like 900 years since it's been. It's not only in the United States but also European, the way they write the date backwards, and then something to do with the Chinese calendar, I think too. Somehow they're all lining up today. They're all palindromes. So.
Yeah.
And it won't be, you know, for a while.
And the
again.
49ers are in the Super Bowl. So it's just one. It's a Bellmark day.
Yes, it is. And Groundhog Day. And I heard that the groundhog saw his shadow or didn't see his shadow. One or the other. It's going to be early spring. Okay. I think it's didn't see the shadow. Anyway, so all that exciting stuff. I have Daniela Pavone here with me. That's the other voice you hear on the
yes,
mic.
Good morning.
Good morning. And an attorney with Zimmerman Pavone, LLC. So you handle a lot of real estate law and land use law.
Yes, we're specialized. We do real estate land use, and then my partner specializes in representing homeowners associations.
Great.
So just real property. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the good stuff, and important stuff. So we're gonna chat a little bit about a lot of different things.
Yes.
And because there's
cover.
Yeah, there is a lot of interesting stuff going on. And before that, though, let me just talk about a couple of things going on. I don't have any open houses today because nobody wanted to have an open house on Super Bowl Sunday. Although there
Shocking.
Are, I know, there are buyers out there looking. There are some open houses today. I do have two active listings right now. One, 1532 Moonview Court, listed at 525. We do have a couple of offers on that we're working with. But it is still available to take a look at if you want to get your throw your hat in the ring on that one. It's a great single-level home. Move-in ready, you know, real clean. It's been updated here and there over the years. And it's just a great, clean property, nice neighborhood off of Jennings, Northwest Santa Rosa, off of Marlow Road. So that one, you give me a call if you have any interest in getting in, or if you have an agent, have them pull it up on the MLS and look at the instructions to show it. And then a PUD, which I'm talking about HOAs, and
yes.
it does have an HOA, and the HOA covers all the exterior of the building and the roof. And a lot of times PUDs, which is a planned unit development, as opposed to a condo, and the difference, people always ask me, what is the difference? A condo, you own pretty much the airspace, you know, the interior of the home. With a PUD, you own the land that and the house or the home that sits on top of it. They're typically attached, but not always. And a lot of times they don't cover exterior because you own the whole thing. But in some cases they do. And in this case, it covers the roof and the exterior siding, the roads, the maintenance management, and all of that. So that is 506 Tracy Avenue. I've had quite a few showings on it, but we don't have an offer yet. So, you know, come on by, take a look. It is $465,000. Another single level. And this one, if you're looking for something that you don't have to step into at all, you have maybe somebody in a wheelchair or just, you know, don't you know, have some mobility issues, it's on a slab, so you literally could just roll right in. It has an attached two-car garage. It's a two-bedroom, two-bath, 1122 square feet, nice front, kind of private entrance to the front door, and then a fully fenced backyard. So it's a great property. The HOA is $305 a month, but again, it covers all the exterior, so you don't have to worry about that. So somebody that's looking for low maintenance, you have full control of what you want to do with your landscaping, but everything on the exterior of the building is covered. So not open today, but if you have any interest in getting in to see it again, give me a call, 799-3617, or have your realtor, if you have one you're working with, pull it up in the MLS, and there's some showing instructions in there. So that is that for that. We'll go over the market some as we're just closing the month out in January. We'll take a look at what happened in January. Probably next week. We'll give it a week for the agents that sometimes we forget to report things sold. And so we like to give it a few days, a little bit of a buffer to give everyone time to get their closed listings into the MLS, and that we'll take a look at next week. But just pulling up the active listings is pretty similar. There's around 600 active listings across the board in all of Sonoma County. So that and interest rates are still, you know, sub 4 in most cases. So really a good time to be out buying a house. There are homes coming on the market. If you're thinking about putting your house on the market, the sooner the better, because we're heading into the spring market. And it's been kind of traditionally just after the Super Bowl, people start shopping for homes. And we're heading into spring. The weather's a little better. Everything's starting to bloom. A lot of people like to wait until their homes start looking real pretty with the flowers and everything. But really, you look pretty by being the only house on the market. So do that. So the sooner the better. Anyway, I think what we'll do is we'll take a break. And then we'll come back and we'll dive in with Daniela Pavone talking about all things real estate law and land use and all that good stuff. So we'll be back. This is Allison Norman with Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, and we'll be right back.
KSRO, on air, online, and now available on all leading smart speakers, including Google Home. Just say, okay, Google, play KSRO. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO. Around the county, around the country. We're everywhere you are.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's Morning News with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back, and happy Sunday morning. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Woohoo, go Niners. I have a lot of friends across the country in real estate, and mostly, but a lot of Kansas City fans. But
well, Kansas City
on the, you know, the East Coast.
Definitely the let's see, if you're neutral, I'd be rooting for Kansas City if they weren't playing the 49ers. So I always like the Chiefs. And plus, they haven't won one in,
I know,
50
they're kind
years.
Of the, yeah.
50 years, that's a long time.
Yeah,
and I remember
so.
That game. So.
What does that say about you, Joe?
Well, I'm old. Yeah.
You were a wee little child when that happened, right? Anyway, I wanted to, we're going to get into talking about real estate law and all of that good stuff with Daniela Pavone. But I forgot to mention, and I wanted to mention it, has we are just past the one-year anniversary of losing our dear friend Mike Kelly, who was the pioneer of this radio station, or radio show.
No. He owned Sunday Mornings.
He owned Sunday Mornings. Yeah. And, the Real Estate Hour. And so it's been a year. And,
no kid. Yeah. Tell us a little bit how fast...
time goes.
Yeah, that's
time goes.
Yeah.
So we sure do miss him, and I'm honored to be carrying on his legacy here. And
you're doing a super job.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. And this was kind of his baby, as we said, and it really was... he made it what it was, and when he passed last year, we just couldn't let it go and wanted to carry it on in his honor. So that is why it's called Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, as it always will be. Nobody else could do it like him, but hope I'm doing an okay job carrying it on. And I appreciate, and we remain one of the top listened to hours across the board, not just KSRO, but across the board in Sonoma County. So thank you for that. Anyway, we miss you, Mike, and thanks for all you brought into the real estate world and the community. He sure did a lot of stuff in the community as well. It was amazing when we had his memorial, how many people came up, and we realized, and I think even his family didn't know the extent of his reach and the different people that he knew and the different people he touched and helped, and not just real estate, but in Rotary and the beekeepers and everything. He was just
everywhere.
He'd
show up to continuing education classes, legal continuing education classes. I'd see him.
He actually did. He joined the...
was he a member of the bar?
Yes.
Yeah. The Sonoma County Bar Association.
Yes, he was in. Yes.
Saw him at those events, and he was everywhere.
He was
very involved.
Quite the guy. Anyway, we miss you, Mike. So that is the voice of Daniela Pavone.
Good
Danny.
Yes.
Instead of me stumbling over your name, Daniela. It's Italian, correct?
It is.
Yes. Although you were born in Germany.
I was actually born in Germany, randomly enough. But yeah, my last name, Pavone, it means peacock in Italian. Yes.
I saw that there's a new emoji coming
I
out.
Saw
the Italian way.
Hand.
This is radio, but you all know the Italian hand. that's funny. But anyway, so I'm excited to have you here. Thank you for coming on the show. And it's been a while.
It has. We were just talking about that. Yeah.
We've had a couple
of
kids.
Much too long.
A
couple of kids. Yes. A
couple of kids. I have a couple of new grandkids, I think, but or at least one. Anyway, we're going to talk about real estate law. And I don't know where, you cover a really wide range of. As land use, tenants,
right?
Issues,
yes, anything really, issues. Kind of anything having to do with real property. So yeah, landlord, tenant, boundaries, easements, title. I've got code enforcement issues. If people get reported to the county, or the county comes after them, I should say, for those sorts of things. Pretty much anything having to do with real property, except loan modifications and the financial side. We don't do that, but. We'll do everything else.
Yeah. But you do if somebody has a, a private note.
Yes, we'll do notes and deeds of trust, draft those, make sure those are done correctly.
You have, a private loan.
Absolutely. If you have a family member that wants to, or ideally not a family
member. I know,
member,
we always say
I was going to say, as soon as I said that, because
that's
something I'm working on right now.
And if it is, though, for sure get a contract.
Absolutely.
I mean, not just a, handwritten note. Owe you $5,000,
$10,000,
whatever.
Because family agrees to loan you money because you're getting along and everybody's getting along, but you never know when things go sideways with family, and when it goes sideways, it goes hard sideways.
A hard sideways.
So, yes, absolutely. If ever you're doing any sort of, especially when it has to do with real property, transaction with family, it's very important to get it formalized, get a formal agreement, and ideally have an attorney draft it, but you should get something in writing.
Good. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Good sound advice.
Yes.
From an attorney. So, and we'll have the podcast up on KSRO.com, and all of your contact information will be there, and we'll mention it towards the end of the show as well.
Sure.
But it is Zimmerman Pavone.
Correct.
LLC.
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Easily Googleable.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Zimmerman is as you'd expect, and then Pavone.
Pavone.
So you can find that on the website.
Yeah. A lot of good information of what you all cover.
Mm-hmm.
As far as different different things having to do with real estate law. So let's talk first. We've talked about, I mentioned we had Keith Becker in here talking about, he's a property manager with DD's Rentals.
Yeah.
And really pays a lot of attention to what's going on with all of our real estate laws, as he should as a property manager. But we always, actually, when he was on, we, you know, had the huge caveat of, I'm not an attorney. I'm giving you the information, but talk to an attorney. So, surprise, we have an attorney. So, what can you tell us about what's going on with the new laws, the rent control, and then also I want to talk about, well, we'll do first the rent, but also the Section 8.
Sure.
And the new rules around that.
Sure. So as for the new rent control rules, I'm sure Keith went over them and what they are. The most important sort of key part that that I've had questions about is what properties are exempt. And I think that's an important piece.
So these are, let me just preface that.
Sure.
I'm sorry. These are actual questions that you've been getting.
Correct.
So we're not just going to tell you about the law, but what you're, you know, and the reason it's important is you're actually getting those questions.
Yeah. Right, and now that seems to be at this point, you know, it's really early. It just went into effect the first of the year. So there were some things that certain landlords and property owners tried to do in advance of it happening. But now that it's in place, the ability to remove somebody without cause is gone. So there's the understanding that there has to be a reason to have somebody ask them to leave. So that's sort of, people seem to understand that. You know, the fact that in certain situations you have to offer relocation assistance or 1 month's rent or things like that. People are sort of understanding that. And then there's the idea that, or the fact that there's certain properties that this simply doesn't apply to. And the most common is single family homes. So if you have a single family home and you have a tenant in there, it doesn't apply. If you share your home with a person, that is the most common thing as well. Because if you share your kitchen and a bathroom and things like that, and you're just renting a bedroom, people want to know that they have the ability, look, this person makes me uncomfortable for whatever reason. I don't want to share their home, my home with them anymore. That's an opportunity where it doesn't apply, and the legislature appreciated that you don't have to, you can ask somebody to leave your house if you don't want them in your house anymore.
However, let me ask you this, because I had a situation years and years ago, gosh, probably 20 years ago, where we did have, I was married at the time, we had a room that we were renting out, and had some issues, asked the person to leave, which was okay to do, but they had a bunch of stuff that they left, and we could not, so I called them all, what do I do with this stuff? And they had to do with the post in store, basically, and that hang on to it for a certain amount of time, right?
That has been a nightmare. That is something that I think a lot of landlords do not appreciate is quite as huge of a nightmare as it is until it happens. Because, yeah, you're stuck with this stuff. If the reasonable, and by reasonable, it's really garage sale value of the things, of the items left behind, is in excess of $700, you have to hang on to it for them. You have to give them a chance to come back. If they don't, yes, you have to store it. They have to pay you for the storage fees before you release it. But a lot of people don't have that money.
Yeah.
So if they can't, then you have to do, there's statutorily required amounts of notice you have to post and provide. You have to have an auction. You have to ultimately give them the final profits. I mean, it is a nightmare.
What a mess.
So, and you know, if you have a couple of high ticket items, it can get over $700 pretty quickly. So it's that part is hard.
Yeah,
and that is worse, especially when you have a really contentious issue with a tenant, and sometimes the landlord says, "Look, I just want him out. I don't want him to come back. I just want him gone." Yeah, but let's look at what they have. You're looking at probably $1,500 worth of stuff. You need to let them in. You know, be nice. Try and get them to take as much as humanly possible.
Right.
So that you don't have to deal with this. And you can move on. Just being able to sever that relationship can be really hard.
Yeah, it was. So. It was. Yeah, that was tough. So we used to do that with the bank-owned properties as well. We had to, they called a post in store. You had to put a sign up, you know, and I think we had to put it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
and all of that. So something to think about.
It's
a good reason
hassle.
To reach out to your attorney.
Yes.
And say,
yeah,
what do
to
I
try
do?
And get some of that
well, just to find
outlined out of the gate, in the beginning.
Yeah, what can I legally do? What do I have to do?
Right. And when you do,
myself,
the one thing I'm going to say, too, that's really important is that when you are, if you are trying to negotiate with a tenant to have them to leave, and especially if you've given them a proper notice, a proper written notice, and they ask for more time, you have to be really, really careful if you are going to give them more time, specifically in the way in which you word it. It is very easy to say something that would ultimately waive that notice that you gave them and make it really hard, if not impossible, to then go back and enforce that notice. So I would recommend that if you do a notice, even if you do it on your own, you go online, you find something, that's fine. Hopefully it's good and it works, but let's say it is and it's fine and you do that, you've done it before, whatever. If you're negotiating or you're interested in negotiating with your tenant for more time, I would strongly recommend talking to an attorney that specializes in landlord-tenant so that they can help you with the proper terminology to avoid and what you can feel free to say. You don't necessarily have to, you know, pay the attorney to talk to the tenant, but you can get some advice as to how to protect yourself.
Right.
So
okay.
You don't shoot yourself in the foot and try to be nice and end up having to start
and
all
now
over.
You avoided your
exactly
your notice.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. So when we talk about this rent control, we're talking about the just cause eviction, and what's the other piece of it?
So there is there's fault and no fault evictions or purposes for the notice. So you can have the tenant does something like fails to pay rent or sublets, brings somebody else in and starts collecting rent from them without getting authorization from the landlord, things like that, materially breaching the lease, dealing drugs, all sorts of things you're not supposed to be doing. And then there's things that the tenant needs to be removed, but it's not necessarily their fault, where the landlord wants to move into the property, or they don't want to rent it anymore, or they want to sell it, or something like that. So you still have to follow these procedures, but they're a little different because it's not the tenant's fault.
Right. Okay.
So things are just a little different, but you can still ask people to leave for those reasons. You don't have to. They don't have to necessarily be the ones at fault, but it has to be legitimate.
A specific
reason,
yeah.
You can't say, "Oh, I'm gonna get Allison to list the property. So look, I'm selling it. So I want you out." And then the tenant leaves and it's like, oh, no, wait, I changed
Never
my mind.
Never mind,
yeah.
It's really just
be...
wanted to raise the rent. You know?
Exactly.
And there's some restrictions on that as
there's
well.
There's restrictions on raising the rent. You can't raise the rent more than 5% plus the rate of inflation per year or 10%, whichever is less.
Okay.
So there might be some math involved. I believe there are charts that are being sort of created so that you can just pull them up and look. Yeah. What's 5% plus the rate of inflation?
I know.
To make sure you do that right.
Yeah. Okay. And just, sorry, there goes my voice. And just to reiterate, this is not single family homes.
It's single family homes. It relates.
Oh, it is for.
Yes. As long as you don't also. If you live in single family homes with the person,
okay.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
And then it doesn't apply to a duplex if the owner lives in one.
Right, okay.
It doesn't apply to housing that has been issued a certificate of occupancy within the last 15 years.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
right.
only
okay.
older homes. Mm-hmm. So if you've had a house that's built within the last 10 years, then you're fine, you're exempt.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some more little sort of more.
And that's a rolling, small. That 15 years, it's not, because it used to be like back to 1995.
Right, it was stuck.
Now it's a rolling.
Yes,
you know,
so
rolling,
ultimately they're
right?
going to, yeah, because that was the problem was before there was basically no housing that was left, if you will.
Yeah.
So everything was sort of phasing. It didn't apply to anything
right,
anymore.
So now it's 15 years back, regardless of the year, depending on what year we're in.
Correct.
So we're going to take a break. We'll come back, talk a little bit more. We'll talk about the Section 8 and then more of some neighbor disputes and
Sounds good.
Things that you see. And it's always interesting. So I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour. We're with Daniela Pavone, Zimmerman Pavone, LLC, an attorney, and a lot of great information. We'll be right back.
G
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Democratic presidential hopefuls making their final case in Iowa with the caucuses tomorrow. On ABC's This Week, tech entrepreneur Andrew Yang said the plan from Senator Elizabeth Warren to investigate President Trump is a nasty pattern. He says it's something developing countries have fallen into.
Where a new president ends up throwing the president before them in jail, and that pattern, unfortunately, makes it very hard for any party to govern sustainably moving forward with a sense of unity among their people.
President Trump expected to be acquitted by the Senate on Wednesday. Closing arguments in the impeachment trial begin tomorrow. Police in London shot and killed a man who stabbed and injured at least two people in what authorities called terrorism-related stabbings. Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts wants the White House to appoint a global health czar. A Boston man Saturday became the first confirmed coronavirus patient in the state. Hours to Super Bowl 54 in Miami between the Chiefs and 49ers. Brian Clark.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Few clouds today with windy conditions, slim chance of showers, high of 55, 51 along the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 34, 39 on the shores. Tomorrow's mostly sunny at 55, 52 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, blue skies at 58, 54 along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour. Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO from 9 to 10 a.m. Thanks for joining me today. And I have with me Daniela Pavone, Zimmerman Pavone, LLC attorney. And we are talking all about real estate law and land use and all, which is what you specialize in.
Correct.
So I've called the right person to talk to about this thing. So a lot of stuff going on, and I mentioned as we were going to break, and we're just going to touch on it briefly because it really hasn't been an issue yet, but I think it's important to remind you to talk to an attorney if you are a landlord. Section 8, or the, I think it's called the anti-discrimination ordinance, basically says that you have to take Section 8 as a form of payment for.
Correct.
You cannot say we don't take Section 8. You're no longer allowed to advertise no Section 8, or even I don't think even say we take Section 8, because you know, you're just, it's just not, it can't be an issue. And it is a protected class now.
Correct.
As far as you know, what, where your income comes, source of income. So you're not really seeing a lot yet?
Not yet. I think it's really...
I say yet, because we don't say yet, because you know we will.
I think it's coming. It's coming. But it's still early in the year, and so people, you know, they got prepared, and they did what they needed to do in terms of getting the proper inspections if they needed, or things like that. So far I've only haven't had too many.
Hasn't been an issue,
but not yet.
I think it's important though to note that, you know, if somebody is a landlord and they have questions about it, they can give
absolutely
you a call.
Yes,
and you can kind of,
happy to talk about it.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah.
Good. And so, and I think it's just important because it is new, and it's a little I don't know, tricky is the right word, but you know, as far as there's a lot of details
exactly
that people need to know, and be careful because you could get caught up in in the fact that it is new and they're watching for it.
Well, and I think with the new rent control implementation too, the impression I've gotten is landlords, for the most part, at least what I've seen, nobody's really, like, if you were going to get on the market and you were anxious to do that or to get your property on the market, it was done before the first of the year so that you could set your rent and and sort of, you know, have a little bit of time to decide if you liked the tenant, and, you know, get somebody in there that you were happy with. So I haven't seen a lot of people sort of putting property on the market right now because there's just a lot of questions, I think. But I think, you know, people are going to, and it just hasn't really hit yet.
Yeah. So. Well, good to know. Okay, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that since it hasn't, you know, we'll talk about it later.
Sure.
We'll
see how it goes.
But I want to, we'll run out of time if we spend too much time on that. So what I want to talk to you about is what happened in Oakland with the moms that moved into the house. And how is that? How were they able to do it? And like you said, they weren't really able to, but, you know.
Yeah, they weren't really able to.
But they did it anyway.
Yeah, so part of, you know, there's definitely a housing crisis. I don't think anybody can dispute that throughout the Bay Area, including Sonoma County. And one of the issues, if you will, that is exacerbating the situation is that there are investors who purchase homes and then don't do anything with them because it costs money to put tenants in them. It costs money to, you know, do whatever. So they sit on them and hope that they increase in value and then intend to turn around and sell them. So there are a number of vacant properties just sitting there. And it's a bigger specifically is a bigger issue in Oakland, but it does exist around here. And so what happened there was Homes for Moms or Moms for Homes, I apologize, can't remember exactly what that nonprofit was called, but these two single mothers with their children broke into the house and just started living there and made a big statement about how this isn't the proper use for homes and we need a house, we're homeless. An eviction was started by the property owner. And from the legal side, not surprisingly, they prevailed. The moms made all sorts of sympathetic claims and wanted the court to rule in their favor for equitable reasons. It was the right thing to do. We're single moms. We're homeless. But the law is
the law.
You can't break into somebody's home and start living there. Sympathetic as a person as you may be. So they were evicted. But then a nonprofit stood up and made a fair market value offer to the property owner. And, you know, whether it was a property they were actually interested in selling at the time, I don't know. But they did sell it.
They did. Well, I think they had a lot of pressure.
I think they had a little bit of pressure. So they moved in there. But the claims that they were making were, for the most part, they were just equitable claims. They were just, you know, be nice because of our situation claims.
Yeah.
And if it's an unfortunate, I mean, it's sad.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they got a home and
there's
no longer an empty property.
However you feel about that. Yeah. because a lot of us work very hard to get our home.
Yes. So, you know, anyway, we do.
there's two sides to that, but you know, and I won't argue that and absolutely am sympathetic to people who need a place to live, and I but that isn't the right way to do it, and you cannot, and don't take that as an example because you can't just break into a home. And that's squatters, basically a term. But but there's different things, and it's funny because when this came up, I saw a lot of posts on Facebook and people saying, "Oh, of course, California, they're going to let them stay, you know, and squatters, and only in California." And so I'm like, "Well, wait a minute, you know, this is not a California thing. This is across the country. There are some squatter laws. What is it, squatters' rights?"
So the idea of squatters' rights really comes from people who stay past the term of their lease. That's really kind of where it comes from. That term was taken for this, but really it applies to people who have a lease and then they stay past.
Okay.
And so there are rights for people who have a right to be there and then stay past. And it depends on what happens. If they continue to pay rent, if, you know, the landlord acknowledges somehow their right to be there, things like that can reinstate a lease term or a tenancy agreement.
Okay, and that's so completely different than
totally different
breaking
than
into a house.
I'm not leaving. So you were never given permission to be there.
Okay,
you stayed without permission. Nobody took rent from you. That is just trespass.
Yeah,
I mean, as much as you want to try and give them some sort of rights, they really had none.
They had
to
none. It's very different than adverse possession or
correct
squatting.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So explain what adverse possession is, because I always think that's kind of interesting.
adverse possession. I learned about adverse possession in my first year of law school. And I thought it was the most random, unbelievable, kind of cool thing. And as right. a result of that, I decided I only wanted to do real estate and property law. So you might not find this quite as exciting, but I think it's fascinating.
I think it is, but we're in real estate. So,
So it is the idea that an individual can acquire the right to use the property of another because of their history of use. So you see it a lot in this county for things like driveways, access to the property, trails, things like that. So mm-hmm. if you always drive over the corner of your neighbor's property to get to yours because, I don't know, a bush overgrew your path or it's easier or mm-hmm. whatever, but you do it and it's clear that you do it. They don't use this area. There's a path here now that nothing grows because right. you always drive over it.
And they know that you're doing
it. It's open and notorious. Yeah. They know they're doing it. It's mm-hmm. adverse to their interest because you're using their property. And you've been doing it for the last at least 5 years. You can go to court and say, I have a right to continue to do this. Now, you don't acquire their property, but you acquire the right to continue to use it as you have been.
So as like an easement?
It becomes, becomes, exactly, a prescriptive easement is what it's referred to as.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then adverse possession is when you use the property of another and you meet all those same requirements, but you also pay property taxes. And that's a tricky thing to do if you're just driving over a corner. But if there's a vacant lot somewhere that nobody uses and you go out there and you use it openly and obviously and you somehow beat them to the assessor's office and you pay taxes, their property taxes for the mm-hmm. last 5 years, you can actually then go to court and acquire the ownership interest of that property.
Okay.
So that's a lot harder to pull off.
Yes. But we're not advocating that.
No, we're
doing
not.
Anything. It is a fascinating, I think.
Yeah, the legislature way back in the day decided, hey, if nobody's using the property and you are, then you have a right to have it. If you're going to do something with it and they don't even realize you're doing it, then maybe they shouldn't have it anymore. So yes, if you have a lot of property, if you have a lot of land, if you have some rural piece of property and you just have a house in a corner, but you're not really using the rest of it.
Right, you've got, 10, 15, 20 acres.
Take your car, take a four-wheeler, just walk it and check it periodically and just see if there's anybody camping out there
or something. Camping, growing.
Exactly, yes. That's a big, that was a very big issue, especially up in like Mendocino County was mm-hmm. very common. It was happening here too, though. People with rural properties, they'd walk them and they'd find grows.
Yeah.
They didn't know what was happening there. They didn't know they were going on. So,
And so if you're not, I mean, just like in Oakland where, people started saying, if you, and even here I was saying, if you have a vacant house, mm-hmm. check on it.
Absolutely.
You absolutely should have your property manager or yourself checking it. So the same goes with land. Who's using your land.
I have a friend who lives in Santa Rosa area in the downtown area, and a neighbor of hers, he passed away. And his family was fighting over the property, and none of them were local. And it had been years, and nobody was in it. And I actually joked. I'm like, maybe I should just move in and see what happens. We did not.
Good. Yeah.
But you own it, if you have a piece of property, absolutely, check on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah.
Important to do. But it's just, I think it's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes way back to, the settlers of, where you can go, move west and
they've
stake your claim on a piece of land.
Our government thought that you should use property. And whether you still think that's the case, if you don't intend to use it, well, that's the other thing. So if you're not going to develop it, if you're not going to, I don't want to say not use it, but if you're not going to develop it, if you're not going to build on it, if you're not going to put ag on it and you just want it to sit and you just want it to be
hold
natural
it or whatever,
and let it be one with nature, that's fantastic. But I would recommend, talk to nonprofits, preservation organizations, things like that, where you can get conservation easements on it so that it's limited that way. So yeah, you just make sure. And then that way it has that added protection if you want it. And sometimes, like Sonoma Land Trust, right, and there's some other ones, they'll come out and they'll check on it for you.
Yeah,
things like that. Yeah, so there's ways to do it and do it right, if you will, instead of just saying I'm leaving it to nature, because your neighbors might have other ideas.
Right, right. So. All righty. Well, it's interesting. I don't know. Like I said, yeah, it's interesting to us because
I like it. kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, that you can do that. That's but anyway, amazing. And easements is, you know, I think it makes me think of like out at the river where there's a path that everybody uses to get down to the river and they're going for years and years. And then when you go to sell it, it's like, well, you know, how does that work when you sell it?
Sure. So the thing about you cannot acquire the public, this is a caveat to adverse possession, or not just adverse possession, but prescriptive easement. The public cannot acquire a prescriptive easement. So if you have property and something like that, like the masses, you know, everybody walks past your place to get to the river, mm-hmm. walks past your place to get to the park or something like that. The public cannot acquire a prescriptive easement, but each individual, in theory, could make the argument, I have that.
Right.
So when you sell, you have an obligation to disclose, sort of whatever you know.
Right, yeah, people use that.
Yeah, unless, sometimes it's obvious. So you can say, you know, here's my house, but if there's this giant dirt piece sort of carved out of the corner of your property and you can see that it goes right to the neighbor's house, you know, it's obvious that that's something that the neighbor uses. Also, just to keep in mind, when you purchase a property, you know, you go, you look, you see the fence and you go, okay, that's my property, I'm assuming. Well, that might not always be the case, sort of as we were discussing at the break. You know, there might be an issue with, well, technically the fence is over the line and my property is actually 6 feet that way or 6 feet in or something like that. So, you know, it doesn't always make sense to get a survey of a property, but if there's anything that looks like it's a little off, like, oh, that's odd, the fence does this weird turn, and maybe that's just the way the property line is. Or it seems like this giant tree is determining where the property line is. I wonder where it actually is. It might be worth having a conversation with the seller and trying to remind them, because as you know, selling a piece of property, purchasing, it's very stressful.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Those disclosure forms are lengthy and sometimes very detailed, and things can still sort of slip through the cracks. So it might be beneficial to say, hey, that fence looks weird there. Do you know anything about that?
Right.
Kind of get a heads up if possible.
Yeah. And what our response usually is to that is, I don't know, get a survey.
And there you go. And that would be my response, honestly, too.
Because really, I wouldn't, you know, the seller sometimes knows, but what I usually say is don't rely on the fence.
Right. That's good advice.
Yes, don't rely on the fence because advice. You don't know. In fact, you know,
I mentioned people are told
that you and I had I referred somebody to you who had purchased a home, and after we closed escrow, the fence that looked like it was in the right place.
Sure.
Who knows? You know, and not just a fence, it was a wall.
Right.
And it was like a concrete wall. Just like the week after we closed escrow, the neighbor, knock, knock. Hi, I'm your neighbor. By the way, your fence is on my property.
Right.
Because it wasn't just a fence and it was a wall, the solution was to, you drew up something for, I don't know if you remember all this, but it was probably 4 years ago. But drew up some kind of agreement allowing him to have that wall there.
Yeah. Well, and you get into some of these subdivisions too, and one person gets an easement and realizes my fences are a few feet off. Okay, well, look at your neighbor. That means likely everybody's fences are a few feet off. So everybody can pull up their fences and move them, or everybody can come to agreements and let's just appreciate the fact that clearly when they actually put this place up, somebody screwed up. And then everybody just, it rippled down and everybody's a little bit off. And there's a number of them in this area where it's like that.
Really?
Where they have things, and it's just, and all you need is one person to say, no, I want my actual property.
Oh, and now they're all.
And it's tough. So,
yeah. And in lieu of a survey, another thing is you can just do the the line, you know, the lot line, which I've done before. You know, mm-hmm. just have them retrace the corners, I think it's called.
Oh,
anyway,
just, mark the corners.
They mark, but from corner to corner. But even then, they say we're not guaranteeing that there's no deviation of this straight line going across. So it is always good to have a survey.
Yeah, and it's still, it gives you enough so that if you wanted, you could enter into an agreement. So everybody at least knows, and then it's recorded. And then when you do sell, it's not an issue anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can say, yes, here it is technically, but nobody wants to pay to move the wall, so we're just going to accept
write up
it
this
as
agreement.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, we're talking with Daniela Pavone, Zimmerman Pavone, LLC. I stumble over that
That's
every
fine.
Time, but and this is KSRO, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We're going to go on and talk about... let's talk about neighbor disputes since we kind of started
sure.
in it. But what we talked about years ago when you were here, which I thought was another interesting topic, is of trees, that you handle a lot of disputes about trees. And I see that, too, when I sell a property. The neighbor will come over and go, you know, well, by the way, that tree, you know, we'd love to cut that tree down, or we'd love if they would remove that tree. And it's like, well, you know, and we saw that a lot with the bank owned properties because the neighbor knew it was the bank and they're all, I want that tree down. It's a hazard to my whatever. So what do you see with trees and what are the rules as far as overhanging? And
so the rules are, there used to be a lot of litigation about trees because they keep growing and they don't know where the property line is, and people would
they
take each other to court.
Where the property is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So finally the legislature said, you know what, we are going to let you guys deal with this yourself. So mm-hmm. the law now, or the rules are now, that if a neighbor can cut the branches to the property line, as long as it will not kill the tree or cause the tree to fall over or die, which typically doesn't happen unless it's right on the line, and then they can cut the roots, but the same caveat applies, and it's much more likely that damage to the tree would be caused when you start cutting roots.
Yeah.
And the thing about the roots, too, is it's harder to see what they're doing. So you can trim them a little bit, and then you go put dirt back in there, and guess what? They're just going to come right back.
Or like a concrete patio.
You can
something.
Do exactly. They can start cracking foundations and things like that. So you can cut them. I've had clients who have cut them and then put in what are called root barriers, which are basically just little cement walls underground, so that the roots
redirects.
Hit them.
Mm-hmm.
It directs them down or sideways or something like that. And then typically that it's not going to be an issue for an incredibly long time. You're basically done.
Yeah.
The other issues that I've seen recently, for some reason, are trees that are on the property line, so they technically belong to both parties, one party wants it gone and the other doesn't.
Yeah.
So those are kind of tricky. Also, people don't appreciate the fact that if you just get mad and you decide you're going to cut down your neighbor's tree, and I've had that as well.
A
neighbor decided they wanted a path through their neighbor's property, so they just cleared one, cut some trees, and cleared them. Trees are, it's an expensive thing to replace. That is an unbelievably, a shockingly high amount of liability. There actually was an article in the Press Democrat, a couple of months ago, where somebody cut or moved a neighbor's oak trees. I think there were four oak trees, and it ended up being $60,000 they had to pay.
Wow.
To move them
or for damages?
I'm trying
to
remember. I wish I would have looked at this before. I just thought of it. I think two of them died, and then they moved two, and those two ultimately died as well. Something like that.
Because
it's not only the cost of the tree, but it's the mulch and the water and the maintenance and the getting it up to being an adult and you also have to look at the drop in property value. I mean, these old oaks are beautiful,
They
add a lot of value to a property. So all of a sudden, if you have a number of them in the open the front of the property, and now it's nothing, or they're not quite as healthy as they were, it's significant value. So and even just regular trees. I had a client once who didn't realize and cut down four pine trees on their neighbor's property, and we had to bring in big ones, and it was compensation for everything that was necessary to bring them back. They didn't realize where the property line was.
Okay.
That's all. It was just a mistake.
How do you not realize you cut down
the
trees?
No, they intended to cut the trees, but they thought they owned them, and it turns out they did not. And even though it was a mistake, and it wasn't ill intent,
But for somebody that, yeah, on your property and trees, there's something kind of sacred, because you can't just bring it back to its full glory. You can't plant a brand new 100-year oak, although oak trees are protected, aren't they?
Valley oaks are protected.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be very careful when you get down
a tree.
And some parts of the, I think in Nevada, I know I sold a house in Nevada one time that had an old tree that the family had actually planted.
Oh, wow.
The city wouldn't let them cut it down. I mean, they had planted it back in the 60s, you know, and now it was like, you know, maybe 15 feet across.
Yeah.
No, because when it gets to a certain size, it was protected.
Wow.
And it was this huge, messy tree. I don't remember it was a weird kind of tree, but it made a huge mess.
Yeah. There's some trees that are beautiful.
And the city says, nope.
Yeah, it's tough. So be careful. Be careful about trees. And if you want to,
do you recommend somebody? I mean, how do you know if it's going to kill the tree or not? You recommend
an arborist
come out.
Yeah, if it's just a regular trimming of branches and, you know, basic things that are over the line, and a regular tree trimmer will come out and they'll just trim those. But if you're getting kind of close to the trunk or you're getting some hefty branches, mm-hmm. I would suggest, I mean, you can talk to the tree trimmer too, but I would suggest just getting an arborist out there and just taking a look
and that way, much cheaper than getting in trouble.
And if something does happen that's freakish, you can say, well, I got an arborist and they said it would be fine.
Yeah.
And that would be very helpful.
Okay, that you at least did some due diligence.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And they're not, I understand they're not astronomically, I don't know, I don't think it's that expensive for them to come out, and especially if it's a big tree, to take a look and just let you know the health of it and things like that, so.
Good.
Yeah.
Good to know. And then, you know, what are some other things? I don't know. What are you seeing? Anything else out there?
trees, fences, those are kind of the big things. Driveways, yeah, those are kind of the everyday things. But I also do stuff with bigger easements for like wells. I have a bunch of well easements right now. That's why that's on my mind.
That's an interesting topic, yeah, because sometimes a well needs to be on mm-hmm. a different property
mm-hmm.
Or a leach field or a septic tank. There was one out in Sebastopol just recently I was looking at where the septic tank was actually on the neighbor's property because of the 100-foot rule that mm-hmm. has to apply for it, keeping it away from the well and the house. And
or
all
if you're you're subdividing, you have a bigger parcel, you have maybe one well and you want to cut it, cut the property in half and sell one and keep one,
mm-hmm.
You should have a formal agreement drafted to give the other property an easement to water and to the well and the ability to, you know, if necessary for emergency or something, get onto the property.
Water.
But there's some sort of provisions in place for the ability to enter to repair the well or check on it or things
right.
like that.
So what does that involve? Is it usually a monetary, you know, the property owner that's asking for the easement? Are they giving some money
to It depends on what they're getting. Maybe there's something else that can be traded, some other use of the property or mm-hmm. Another piece or a secondary sort of easement or something like that. So it's all negotiable. Sometimes it is money. It's hard to quantify if we get to money. That's why sometimes it's even a little easier to do something in kind.
Yeah.
What
can we do for you?
Exactly.
Well, like, we'll let you use our water.
Yeah,
you know, and
exactly.
maybe that'll help with their insurance or something. If
sure.
they have access to another source of water.
Yeah, it's a secondary source or a secondary leach field. If you're developing, you might have room for one leach field, but sometimes you have to be able to say, okay, if this one fails, this is where I'm going to put the
right,
second
the,
one.
Mm-hmm,
and
the
maybe
reserve.
It doesn't fit. Yeah, the reserve. Thank you.
Yeah.
So something like that. Yeah, there's all sorts of things that can be worked out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I think it comes down to, like you said, being, you know, working together, you know.
That is such an important...
If we don't get it to the point where we're disputing it and we can just work it out as neighbors.
Well, and that's what I'll direct people to do, too. That's one of my first questions. You know, what's your relationship with your neighbor?
Yeah.
Do you guys get along at all? Just give them a call. Talk it, you know, figure it out first. Have a chat.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm happy to answer any questions and come up with some ideas, but... to have that preliminary conversation is important.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. And if not, then they can give you a call.
Absolutely.
You'd be glad to help. And so before we run out of time, why don't you give your a phone number that
sure.
you don't mind taking, you know,
not at all. And it is 707-578-7555. You can also feel free to shoot me an email. That's Pavone, P as in Paul, A V as in Victor, O-N-E, at zp-law.net.
Perfect. And we'll put all of that information on the blog at ksro.com. And this replay will also go there.
Fantastic.
The podcast. So thank you, Danny,
thank
for
you
joining
very much.
Us.
It was a pleasure.
It's been so long.
I know.
Anyway,
wonderful. Thank you.
Any disputes you have or legal questions about real estate, give Danny a call. This is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour. Go Niners.
The preceding was a paid presentation. News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.